Everybody, and thank you for attending Gateway Church, and thank you to all the good people that tune in each week to our podcast on our website, and I trust you are enjoying our new series that we're doing on the Holy Spirit entitled Thrive, and it's Spirit-infused power for everyday life. And how many of you know that we all need Spirit-infused power for everyday life? How many of you tried it the other way and you know it doesn't work? Amen? So we don't apologize for that either. So today's message is entitled Fully Immersed. And if you're here with us for the very first time, these are sermon-based Connect Group messages. So what happens is in your bulletin, you could fill in the blanks, and what they do is during the week, people in all our Connect Groups discuss what we're talking about in the morning service here, and it just works really, really nice, and we're really excited about that. So how many of you people know that foundations are important? Now, for those of you who were around when this church was built, you know that foundations are very, very important because when they went to build the church, they had already had an engineering study and everything, and they said, okay, you're okay to build this church. But when they went to build it and they stuck the stick in the ground, they said, if we put a church on that property, what's going to happen? It's going to sink. And so what happened is $200,000 later and to fill this property in which you are on, we have a solid foundation. And when you look around, because the building was built in 98, yes, we need a little bit of a paint job now, but you don't see any major, major cracks. There's a few, like there's a couple over there, but you don't see any major cracks because the place was built on a good foundation. Right? So how many of you know that foundations are really good? If you work out, you know that squats are really good. My legs are killing me from yesterday doing all our cutback, you know? So even though I'm going like this, when I get home today, it's going to be like, oh my goodness, because when you have squats, when you work out, that's the most important part of your exercise, because if you have a good foundation, you're going to be healthier. Amen. So foundations are very, very good. And we've been hearing that the Holy Spirit is a person and also a friend over the last number of weeks. Amen. Some people have thanked me very much for that because Holy Spirit is not an entity. Holy Spirit isn't a buzz that we get just, oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, they must be swinging from the chandeliers in that church. Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit is our friend. Holy Spirit is our comforter. Holy Spirit is our teacher. And having a foundational understanding is vital in all of our spiritual journeys that we have of understanding who Holy Spirit is. Can you say amen with me? It certainly, certainly is. So we've been learning that this person is a friend, and having a foundation, as I said, is vital to each of you this morning. So this morning I want to teach and preach. I'm saying teach and preach because last week sometimes I do some teaching and then I just feel like preaching it. Like it's just so, I don't know if today's going to be preach or teach or both. So it's going to be, so I'll just say this morning I want to teach and preach about being fully immersed in the Spirit. And this is what we believe. This is what we believe as a fellowship. This is what we believe as a church. And it's a thing of beauty. And this is foundational to being a Spirit-filled person. Amen? So are you excited about hearing what I'm going to say? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We do not apologize. This is not an apologetic by any means. This is what we believe. This is what I believe. We do not, you will never hear me say, that's not what someone else believes, because I don't have time to address that. This is what we believe, this is where we are going. We are Spirit-filled believers, we believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Otherwise, what are you doing here, right? So how many of you have heard the following terms? Baptism in the Holy Spirit. How many of you have heard that term? How many of you have never heard that term? Anyone? Anyone not here? Now, how many of you heard the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How many of you have heard that term? Okay, so it's two different terms. Baptism in the Holy Spirit and baptism. And seeing people walking in a close friendship with the Holy Spirit is a thing of beauty. It really is a thing of beauty. When I meet someone who walks in the Spirit, there's a connection. There's a spiritual connection. You just know. You don't have to say words. It's kind of like, am I right? You just know. You could walk through a mall. You just know. When you know Holy Spirit, you just know. You just know. And it's a thing of beauty to see people hungering and walking in the Spirit. It's a thing of beauty. It's a thing of beauty. And so are you aware that the Bible mentions several different baptisms? Are you aware of that? It mentions several different baptisms, two of which involve Holy Spirit. Okay? And most of us are familiar with water baptism and John the Baptist. Amen? Most of us are familiar with that. And we practice that in this church. Many of you have been baptized in water and have received water baptism. Still, the Bible mentions two baptisms that cannot be seen with the physical eyes. So when someone is baptized in water, you can see that. But the Bible mentions two baptisms that cannot be seen with physical eyes. And you can only see the impact of them in a person's life. So let's explore what these are. First of all, baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first of the baptisms a person can and should experience is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, and it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free." So when you look at that verse, who is doing the baptizing in this verse? The Holy Spirit, right? And when you and I experience salvation, we were both baptized into the same body, the body of Christ, right? Amen? Are we all on the same page? Because I'm building here, so just nod at me if I'm connecting. Okay? So who is doing the baptism in this, or the baptizing in this verse? The Holy Spirit. And like I said, when we experience salvation, we are baptized into the same body. And the Holy Spirit is the agent who did the baptizing. And this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it is not baptism in the Spirit. Okay? So we're baptized. Okay. And so if you've been born again, how many of you have been born again here? Okay. How many of you have been born again? Is there anyone here who would like to be born again? Because I'll stop the service right now and lead you in prayer. And I don't apologize for that either. There's a lot of things I do not apologize for. So if you've been born again, it is only because the Holy Spirit has drawn you. The Holy Spirit drew you to Him. And when I think back on my salvation like you do, the Holy Spirit drew me in. Do you remember that day? Isn't that a thing of beauty? Do you remember? Some of you came kicking and screaming. Some of you, I had to throw chocolate bars at you. But you know what the thing is? And He drew you, encouraged you, convicted you of your sinful state, that made you aware of your separation from God. Can you remember when you were separated from God and then all of a sudden when the light bulb moment went on, where you just knew that you were not separated from God anymore? Is that something that is so incredibly supernatural? Like, how did we not know that? We even would fight. Even the night when Linda gave her heart to the Lord, the couple, Richard and Betty Fife, that led us into the Lord, they said, "You're now born again." And Linda said, "No, I'm not." Because we heard about these born-again people. And we have this idea of what a born-again person is. And what a born-again person is a person who was separated from God, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of our heart and drew us in so that all of a sudden we realized that there was no separation again. And so some of you got really excited about that, and you're still excited about that. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Amen? So when you responded by choosing Jesus, the Holy Spirit did a supernatural work of regeneration in your life. And that's what happens. So we were separated. We recognize that separation. Holy Spirit draws us in, starts to convict our heart. The lights go on. And then all of a sudden, there's no more separation. We submit all our will, all our cares, all to the Lord, and a regeneration process starts within us. We start to get healed. We start to understand the relationship. Unfortunately, some of us pick up Christian lingo and we stop there instead of continuing on with the relationship with the Holy Spirit. So if that's you, throw away the lingo and get back on track with the regeneration process of walking close with the Lord. And isn't that exciting? And all this time, what was happening is you were being made spiritually alive. Spiritually alive. This is like the most positive thing you're going to hear today. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know what? There's some people that you're going to meet today that they just want to squash your joy. They just want you to listen to all the things that are wrong and how bad everything is. Yeah, you could tell me. I'll listen. You can't take the joy away. The joy is a fruit of the Spirit. No matter what the circumstances of life are, you can't. I could share it with you, but you can't take it away. And I say that a lot. But you, the reason I say it a lot is because I have a lot of conversations where you're allowing someone to come in and take the joy away that does not belong to them. Okay, it does not belong to the devil. It doesn't belong to anyone. That is a gift from God. Okay, and that's a fruit of the Spirit. It's just yours. So walk in it. It doesn't mean because you have joy, you have to jump up and down. It could be a quiet joy. It could be just knowing. It could be a peaceful joy. It could be an exuberant joy. It doesn't have to be an expression. You don't have to attach a style to this joy. You just have to know who you are, be who you are, be real to who you are. Don't try to be anyone else. You could steal from someone, but don't copy someone, okay? So what happens is, right? So you can't copy me, okay? But if I say a few things that you want to steal that you will use in your evangelism or you want to do that, that's fine. You steal it. We all steal, but we don't copy because you can't copy. It has to come from the Spirit of God, right? So at the moment you became part of something, you became much bigger than yourself. You became much bigger than yourself. And when you became a member of the body of Christ, you became something huge, big, awesome. You're awesome. You know? You're awesome. There's preachers out there on TV right now that if you're watching, they'll say, "Buddy, you're awesome and God loves you." And they'll get criticized for that. Oh, that's a soft gospel. You're awesome and God loves you. Okay? Receive it. Walk in it. Be joyful in it. Amen? The second one is water baptism. The way you became a member of the body of Christ is by the Holy Spirit baptizing you into it. Right? That's what the scripture says. So you were baptized into the body of Christ. And if you are obedient to the commands of Scripture, then you probably chose the second baptism, which is the water baptism, and this one is in water. Are you all familiar with that one? Okay. So this is a wide understanding that when you are born again, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ, and that water baptism is an outward expression of that inner thing that's taking place within you, right? So it's evidence. It's a thing of beauty. That's why when we have a water baptismal service and someone comes out of the water, it's like, woohoo, we're all cheering because you know what? Someone is saying, I will walk with the Lord all the days of my life. This guy here, he was so afraid of water. It took, how long did it take me to get, and it was nothing, wasn't it? And the Lord took the fear of water away. You remember when you came out of the water that day when we baptized you in water? You know, it was a thing of beauty. Say that with me. It was a thing of beauty. Say, my salvation is a thing of beauty. What I see in each of you, look to someone and turn to someone and say, what I see in you is a thing of beauty. Okay. Now, if you're not connecting with me spiritually, that means something totally different than what I'm telling you to do. Okay? So let's say it. So let's say it spiritually. Say, Annette, you're a thing of beauty. Okay? And I'm so proud and honored that on Wednesday night we get to pray together for this family with all the other people. That's a thing of beauty, isn't it? Isn't that a thing of beauty? That's beautiful. So there's this wide understanding in Ephesians chapter 2. It reminds us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins before we came to know the Lord. We were dead. Water baptism. We were dead, buried, raised to a new life. This is a symbolism of water baptism. Amen? Okay. Breath. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. So, who is the best known baptizer in Scripture? John? Everybody? John? Are we in agreement with that? So, if John in Scripture is described as the baptizer, then we should probably pay attention to him if he says something about being baptized in the Spirit, right? Would you agree with that? So is he our go-to guy to understand what water baptism is? Because he's the baptizer. So in Matthew chapter 3, verses 11, John says this. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, but I baptize you with the... But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen? So this is really good. This is really good because John has credibility, right? I don't think anybody in any theological circles questions John. So we're not going to question him either this morning. So John is talking about Jesus, right? Isn't he talking about Jesus? And in essence, John is saying, I am just a forerunner of something much greater, a greater one. And Jesus, who will immerse reborn people in the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's what he is saying. So John's statement is mentioned in all four Gospels. All four Gospels, it's mentioned in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John. And this is very, very significant. Would you agree with me that the death and resurrection of Jesus are significant and central to the story of the gospel? Would you agree with that? Well, they are also mentioned in all four gospels, that story. And they appear in all of the four gospels. So would you agree that it's also significant that the baptism in the Holy Spirit also appears in all four gospels? Amen? Amen. Of course it is. So who is doing the baptism in these verses? Well, it's Jesus. Amen? It's Jesus that's doing it. So what is he baptizing us with or in? The Holy Spirit. Right? In the other two verses that we looked at, the Holy Spirit was doing the baptizing. In this verse here, it says that Jesus is. So in other words, only Jesus performs this baptism, immersing us into the Holy Spirit. Right? Scripture clearly tells us this four times. And it should be apparent to us beyond the baptism into Jesus, which is new birth, and the water baptism, Scripture repeatedly describes this third baptism where Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? This is good. So Jesus even commanded his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received it. Right? So it is Jesus baptizing us in the Holy Spirit. And it must be a very good thing then, if Jesus is doing it. If it's a really good thing that we listen to John telling us about Jesus, well, it must be a really, really good thing that Jesus is doing this very thing. Because didn't we sing about Jesus this morning? Amen. So we worshiped him. And especially when it is so plainly presented in the Bible. It is so plainly presented in the Bible. So I pray for you right now, if there's any blinders on the eyes right now, I pray that they will come off. And the Holy Spirit through Scripture will speak deep into your spirit so that we will all be on the same page with this, so that we will honor our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, King Jesus. Amen? Amen. Especially when it's so plainly. So first Jesus, the one who loved us so much and died for us, is doing the baptizing. Second, the third member of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, in whom we are being immersed into. So Jesus is immersing us into the Holy Spirit. That is very, very exciting, isn't it? Now I want to tell you something. How many of you understand this, what I'm talking about this morning? Okay, how many of you understand it? This is an extraordinary privilege. Do you realize that? That this is what I'm talking about this morning, an extraordinary privilege. Okay, you are a privileged people. You are a privileged people this morning. And having the empowering, enable, energizing presence of the Holy Spirit as a constant companion and friend is an extraordinary privilege. And without that, I cannot function. I was just talking to Gene yesterday. It's like 19 years we were at this church, okay? And so he goes, I don't know how you do it. Well, you know how I do it. The same thing we were talking about yesterday. We just need to pray. We just need to pray. We need to, like, how do you get through? Like, how are you getting through? Like, some of the things that you carry in your hearts, some of the things are so heavy. They're hard. Life is hard. How are you getting through? How are you coping? How are you managing life without Holy Spirit? So it's an extraordinary privilege. If we think about that Jesus immersed us into the Holy Spirit, first of all, we have to get up every day and we have to say, oh my goodness, this is an extraordinary privilege. This is an extraordinary privilege. It's the greatest of the Old Testament saints would have marveled at the blessings that you have been given this morning. That's incredible. And through the Old Testament, we find that many instances of the Holy Spirit would descend upon a person, but not remain on that person. Prophets and judges and warriors and kings all experience short seasons where the Holy Spirit's power would come upon them, but it only lasted for a season, only for a short season. Immediately after Jesus' baptism, he became the first person in history to have the Holy Spirit stay on him, to ascend on him, descend on him, and remain on him. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the 120 gathered and remained on them for the rest of their lives. Amen? And the same thing is available for us today. And I've experienced this in my walk and in my Christian life, and I have not been the same. And my wife has not been the same. You have not been the same. Oh my goodness. You know that saying came on social media where everyone is saying, oh my goodness? Well, I'm just adding some sanctification to it. Oh my goodness, God, it's such a privilege to know you. It's such a privilege. The same thing that happened in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit came and descended upon them and stayed upon them is the same thing that's available to me, the preacher, and to you, all the people in this congregation who serve faithfully and everything else. Don't do life without our helper. Don't do life without our comforter. Don't do life without our teacher. Amen. Don't do life. You can't do life without Holy Spirit. Okay? Holy Spirit's not weird. We're weird. Okay? If you were weird before you got saved, chances are you're still weird, okay? But the thing is, Holy Spirit is not weird. Holy Spirit is our best friend. Holy Spirit is everything. So the final question is this. Take a breath. Can anyone smell chili? Can you? Can you? Is that a distraction when I preach, that when there's food after the service? Is it? Dave, it is, eh? Anyone else, is it a distraction? Well, listen up. I ask you to ponder one more question. What were Jesus' final instructions to his disciples? Does anyone know? He appeared to the disciples off and on for 40 days following the resurrection, and finally a day came when he gave the words of instruction for one last time, and it took place right before his ascension into heaven. And many people think that his final words, you just answered right, but many people think his final words are, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. But what happens is in Luke chapter 24 and 49, Jesus says, I am going to send what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And the word stay or tarry, it means to wait. It means to wait. And his final instruction was to wait. And you know what? I've heard it preached so often. I know you poor people. I know how frustrating it is to wait in this day, you know, with social media and everything. Just wait. Okay? We spend more time talking about how hard it is to wait that we never get around to waiting. Right? Just wait. You wait all the time. It's funny, if your favorite show came on TV at 8:30 at night and it was 8:15, you'd sit there and you'd watch commercials for 15 minutes and wait for it to start. So he says to wait. The promise, as we learned early, Jesus' last words. They're also recorded in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift that my Father promised. So we've seen that promise. We've seen it in four Gospels. And now what we're doing is we're seeing it for a fifth time mentioned, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told the disciples to wait before they go, change the world. They knew if they went without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, nothing would happen. Honestly, how many of you have ever tried to tell someone about Jesus with not the Holy Spirit's presence? And how did that work out for you? Anyone kind of admit it? Okay? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. People say, well, how come when you walk through the mall, you always have an open door into people's lives? Because I asked a question. I say, Father, show me where you're at work here so that I could join you. And Holy Spirit, give me the words to speak into someone's life. And I've been saved for a long time, and every time I do that, I still say the same prayer. It's the same words. It's a new person. I meet a new person, guess what? Same thing. I rely on Holy Spirit. If I rely on Ken Jeffrey's strength, we will talk about how great the hockey game was last night, or we will talk about this, but we'll never have a holy moment. We'll never go there. So he is telling them, don't try to do anything that I've instructed you until you have received additional baptism. You're only striving on your own natural ability. And if you've been born again here this morning, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Jesus at the moment you were saved. Amen? But let me ask you, have you asked Jesus to baptize you into the Holy Spirit? Okay, have you asked him? Now, maybe you asked him one time, or maybe you've asked him a different time, but based on a new model today of how it's been discussed, try again, okay? And just to walk in that, he's our friend, he's our comforter. Think of the Holy Spirit as this incredible, incredible person who will never let you down, will never stab you in the back, and walking with him is highly extraordinary with great, great benefits. Amen? So, those who are trying to attempt to walk this holy life without that presence, It's frustrating. It's truly frustrating. Amen? Amen. So can you stand with me for a second, please? God is good. So I'm going to honor the time this morning, but I just want to close in prayer, and I want to thank each one of you. How many of you this morning can see the possibilities? Okay. How many of you can really see the possibilities of what I'm talking about this morning? Okay. Put your hands down. How many of you have been kicking tires and not walking in this extraordinary relationship that I've been talking about? You know it, but you haven't been walking in it maybe as strong as you should. Who would put up their hand and thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone over here? Thank you, thank you, thank you. See, there's no condemnation here. Amen? There's no condemnation. Okay? What happens is you put up your hand, you're honest. Now walk in it. Okay? Just walk in it. It's that easy. We make it more complicated than that. It's that easy. Okay? Because what happens is Jesus Christ's blood makes us righteous before the Father. And then in order to walk in that righteousness before the Father, we need Holy Spirit who helps us be righteous. So positionally, we're already righteous before the Father, but we know that ourselves, we are not righteous. Positionally, we are, but we lie, and we cheat, and we lust, and we have anger issues, and we have all sorts of not so nice things that are attached to this person. And so we need Holy Spirit to help us walk in righteous because we want our Father in heaven to be proud of us. Amen? So it's not like we have a list of rules, we have to do this or we're going to get zapped. We want our Father in heaven to be proud of us. Right? I want my Father to look down, and if he could look beyond what the righteousness that I already am because of Jesus Christ and just peek around and say, okay, proud of you, son. You're really trying to walk in righteousness. And then he'd get back behind and says, well, you are righteous anyways. Okay, so Father, I thank you for each one here this morning. I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of coming into this house this morning, meeting new people, Lord, from CAP and from Smooth Rock Falls and from different places where we could come together with the name Jesus Christ and we could worship together. I thank you, Lord, for our worship team, and I thank you, Lord, for all the folks in this house that make Sundays come together, technical people and cooking people and everything that we do. And Father, for all the children and the children's workers, what a joy it is to come into this house, Lord, and to be free, to celebrate you, to join our hearts together so that we do things to an audience of one. And so, Father, as we go our separate ways into our meeting, Father, I just pray that your name would be blessed and you would bless each one. And we prayed this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. So just